This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is former Virginia Governor and Senator George Allen, who is now chairman of the American Energy Freedom Center. We want to get his thoughts on the vote in Congress to cut off and not even go forward, really, with offshore drilling in this country to help our energy supply needs. And we also want to get his thoughts on the climate summit at the UN and the impact of the climate and energy issue at the G20 summit in Pittsburgh. And Governor, thanks so much for your time.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Let's start with the vote to deny offshore drilling. I know that Republicans have been pushing the all-of-the-above strategy, talking about the vast resources available under our own land and under our own waters. What do you make of this decision by the Senate?
Oh, it's just so disappointing. You know, Greg, our American energy policy is so cockeyed and convoluted. Any other country, if they had the coal resources, natural gas, oil resources that we have, they would consider it a blessing. The federal government's view is so. Here's the prime emblematic example. The administration in Washington is using our tax money, Americans' tax money, to guarantee a $10 billion loan to Brazil's state-owned oil company so that they can extract oil and gas off of Brazil's coast. Meanwhile, this same federal government prevents Virginia and other states, allowing them to have American private oil companies to responsibly and safely explore off our coast. And in Virginia, we have been trying to get this done since the days I was in the Senate. And we figure if you share the royalties with the states, we could use that for roads and transportation, keep in-state tuition affordable, and so forth. And it's just ridiculous. And I think people are sick and tired of continuing to get jerked around by hostile dictators, oligarchs, and cartels. We'd like to control our own energy future. And it's an example, once again, of the federal government and those in Washington out of touch with the desires of the American people, and more importantly, harming our energy competitiveness to have affordable, reliable American energy.
Governor, as you know, the argument from the left side of the aisle is that this process, offshore drilling and other extraction of our own natural resources, would take too long. And they say we've officially turned the corner towards a renewable energy economy. How would you rebut that?
Well, the reality is that you got to make a decision. If a decision had been made 10 years ago, instead of President Clinton stopping ANWR, this is from Alaska, on land, not even offshore, we would have been getting that. And you wouldn't see $600, $700 billion being sent out of our country every year. So you got to make a decision. Yes, it doesn't get done instantly, but let's make a decision so we can move forward and keep that money here for energy for our economy. As far as the future is concerned, yes, the future will be on maybe different fuels. Maybe it'll be liquefied coal. Maybe it'll be batteries. If it's batteries, we're going to need more electricity generation. Right now, these same people who oppose this are against coal-fired power plants, which generate half of our electricity, and they're against nuclear, which generates about 20% of our electricity. They think we're going to somehow power our economy on what they call renewables. Now, the politically correct renewables are wind and solar, which are fairly interesting but very expensive and just by their nature intermittent. The sun doesn't shine all the time and the wind doesn't blow all the time. So to think that you're going to get powered by that sort of renewable for electricity, for baseload electricity, is clearly unrealistic. Then if they think you're going to be using biofuels, they come up with these unrealistic ethanol mandates where you got 25% of the corn being used for fuel, which is driving up food prices, not just for cornflakes and bread and so forth, but it's really hurting those in the poultry and hog industry and making food costs more. You shouldn't be using a food or a feed for fuel. Now, if you can get to cellulosic where you're using waste products, that's fine. But all of that is just going to be a fraction of the needs that we need, which are the fossil fuels that are 85% of what's propelling our economy is coal, oil, and natural gas, and they're against all of them. So yeah, there are a lot of things we need to do, but it makes no sense whatsoever to deny the American people access to resources that we have under our land and our water and continue down this road of being dependent on foreign sources of energy, many of which are hostile to the United States.
Governor, at the UN on Tuesday, there was a climate summit organized by the Secretary General, President Obama, taking part and saying we face an ecological calamity in the coming years if we don't do something to reverse climate change, which he insists is man-made. And now, of course, there's this G20 summit in Pittsburgh, and this issue is almost certain to come up again. What do you make of the climate change push and the cap-and-trade bill that goes along with it?
Well, all the cap and trade scheme would be is means we lose about 2 million jobs to other countries. We'd have skyrocketing electricity costs, food costs higher, $4 a gallon gasoline, and all of this to supposedly have the Earth's temperature a fraction of a degree cooler 40 years from now. These folks, this global warming issue, is one that has gotten into mythological cult realm, as far as I'm concerned. It's scientifically debatable, but the fact of the matter is that China, India, and many other countries are not going to impose this on their own citizens. So what it is, in effect, is economic unilateral disarmament, and it's going to harm families. It's going to harm businesses in America for nothing. And I think there are plenty of good practical conservation ideas, whether it's teleworking. I was with a company called Synchrony that uses magnets as far as drivetrains, and that reduces electricity needs by 10%. And there's advancements in nanotechnology that'll make batteries better and lighter, stronger materials that need less propulsion. There's a lot of good things that are practical that'll save money. However, if one looks at the demands for electricity in our country, they are outstripping new generation by 3-1. And if you go to our energyfreedomcenter.org, you'll see how different states rate in their electricity. And we call them power rankings. And those states that use hydroelectric and clean coal technology are the ones who have the lowest electricity rates, which I know, as when I was governor, makes your state more attractive for technology companies that use a lot of electricity. The same applies to our whole country. So the cap and trade scheme is one that would end up with a transfer of wealth out of our country, lose jobs, pay higher energy costs to get less energy, and it makes absolutely no sense at all. It's counterproductive, and it ought to be defeated once again, as it has been in the past.
Governor, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Well, thank you. Enjoyed being with you, Greg.
Absolutely. Former Virginia Governor and Senator George Allen, now chairman of the American Energy Freedom Center. The website is energyfreedomcenter.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.